for the last time in this year. Welcome, everyone, to a little show we call Swing Thoughts. I, of course, am golf's spiritual leader. For really no other reason than I decided to be. And have been, I've run, what do they call it? I've run unchallenged now for years.
You're a claim to this esteemed position.
That's right. I've run on, I can't remember the word I'm looking for, but without...
you ran unopposed.
Thank you. Obviously, one of us has to, you know, keep, have our wits about us. It's Tim O'Connor. That's that voice. He's the coach, and he's a fine fellow, author of many fine books, and a golf, a hail fellow well-met in the world of golf. Author of Getting Unstuck, Seven Transformational Practices for Golf Nerds. And we welcome you to our final show of the year. It's crazy how it all went by.
Exactly. Well, you know, at our vintage, the years seem to be flying by faster and faster.
That's right.
It's like that Pink Floyd song. What is it? No One Told Me When to Run. I Missed the Starting Gun.
Yeah, man. I remember this thinking this about saying this about child rearing, being a parent. The days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. That's why, we, you know, you get to our age. I'm going to be 65. 65, Tim.
Whoa.
Coming up in a couple months. Not even a, I mean, 65 in a month and a half. And you are, I'm going to say 66, 67.
67.
67.
Yeah,
I never really thought about.
We're just gonna let that hang, though.
Only I just wanted to pause for a second. I never really thought about shooting my age. I've come close. I came close. I shot. I'm trying to think when it was. So 3 or 4 years ago. So I would have been 61 or two, and I shot 66.
Yipes!
I haven't come close. And last year. Not this past summer, but in 2023, I shot 67 when I was 63. So I'm inching up on it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to do, that's my goal. My goal is to shoot my age in my 60s.
Wow. Yeah. I like it. As your age creeps up, you inch towards.
Absolutely.
Shooting your age. I think, you know, I'm hoping that just... you know, you say, hail fellow, I hope I'm a healthy fella, you know, and I'm 72 and there, and I think it would be possible to shoot.
Absolutely.
72 when I'm that age. I know lots of guys, like our buddy Kent. I think Kent's on the cusp of turning the big 70.
Yeah, he's going to be turning 70 soon, yes. He's going to be in the legends category.
Yeah, and like, he's in amazing shape, and there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, actually, you know, there's... I see people who are like in their 40s and 50s who, you know, they look kind of gray and they got the big boiler and going like, oh my God, your days are going to be numbered. And then I see people like Kent, vibrant, alive, doing shit, playing golf, winning club championships and stuff. You know, there's a lot of years left if you take care of that machine.
Absolutely, which is going to be, I'm going to bring that up a little bit once we get into the show today and talk about, I sort of gave you a hint before we hit record. I said, well, I'll tell you what I've been doing since I stopped playing golf on the 7th of November. It's now the 18th of December as we record this show. And I'll just preface by saying, this is the longest I've gone without touching a golf club since you've known me.
Wow, I mean, okay, some clarity, please, sir. I have known you to, say, not play golf or go to a sim, but you've actually not picked up a club and held a grip in your fingers?
Nope.
Nothing?
Because usually, because in most of the last 3 years, I've been away at this time of the year. I've been golfing. I've golfed year-round now for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, a few days off here or there. But even on those days off, I would often, you know, go take the dog out in the field and hit, you know, pitch shots. And I haven't done any of that since November 7th.
Where do you put your hands when you walk with
Say again.
Stand? What do you do with your hands when you stand?
Well, that's
do you make little golf motions with your hands, or do they go in your pockets?
You know what I've been doing? It's a very good question and very funny. I've been taking him on walks.
Oh, like with a leash,
A leash and everything. Yeah, whoa. I go.
Yeah,
you know, for 45 minutes or an hour, and we go for walks, and I listen to podcasts, and
that's good for your soul.
It is.
And your bod.
And good for him too. Because normally what I would do for him is I would drive him to this field and let him off the leash, and he would run around while I just hit 50, 60-yard, you know, sand wedges. Mm-hmm. So what I've done since November 7th, and again, I'll double preface this by saying that, if that's even possible, for most of the last 20 years, since my 40s, I've been doing yoga. Mostly in the off season, and mostly no more than once a week, maybe twice, depending on who I was dating. And this, since November, it's now again the 18th of December, and I have done 25 yoga classes.
Love it. And zero surprise.
I was going to say, to the surprise of no one.
Like I said last week when I did the story on you earlier this year, the word that came up all the time, intense, yeah. Howard. Oh, yeah, Howard's intense.
So, and I can tell you, you know, like, again, so and the last couple of years, I'm, again, once or twice a week, even in the golf season this year, I kept it going. But I don't know what came over me, but I had this a notion, like, well, what if I went a couple more times a week? What would that do for my fitness? And then all of a sudden it turned into 4 or 5 times a week. And then I started doing different classes, harder classes, more high intensity classes. And I will say this because I've had a lot of our listeners, like you maybe, kind of sort of lingering injuries. My shoulders are always sore. My one left thumb bugs me. You know, on and a lower back pain, a little bit of hip flexor issues.
Yep.
But they're not all gone. But I can tell you after six weeks now, I feel different. Not making that repetitive golf motion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it bodes well because this is the longest I've given my body a chance to rest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, of the things we've said before,
yeah,
is the need as an athlete or any part of your life, rest and recovery. It's just absolutely essential. You know, I don't do the 100 push-ups a day thing anymore because I was starting to hate it. Really? Got to do it again? But also learning that it starts to not be of benefit because
right.
There's no rest and recovery. And that's what you need to build muscle. And is that, you know, there's little tears there and they rebuild. And if you're doing it all the time, it doesn't help. And I see that in particularly in a golf swing. And just, you know, I think just being, I don't know, feeling jazzed up, feeling excited. You know, you know, if you had steak every day, you wouldn't like steak so much.
Well, that's what I was going to throw back at you as a coach. Like, I haven't given myself a chance. Plus, I'm always excited about golf. And yeah, even though I haven't been swinging a golf club, I still look at, you know, golf swings on Instagram and I'm still thinking about it. But I'm really enjoying the feeling of those injuries that have been bugging me for a long time, just kind of abating slightly and feeling stronger. Like, you know, you say, I don't know if anyone listening has ever, maybe some people listening go, how tough can yoga be? I'm going to tell you, these classes I'm doing, they are really, they're a little more challenging than I'm used to. I'm doing what's called flow classes where it's going by quickly. There's lots of upper body strength. You're using your, you know, your own body's weight to do things like it's, you get out of there and you're soaked. It's like a real workout. So I hadn't done very many of those, but I can tell you, I just feel better. Like my body feels better because, so there's that against the thousands and thousands of swings I make every week. That can't be great for you. My question though is like, how do you, like, we're going to talk about the season of balance. Like, it's hard sometimes when you're in golf season mode to balance yourself against, you know, how much can you think about golf in a week? Well, I think we've proven, you know, pretty much constantly.
Oh, wasn't your line, if you thought about anything else as much as you just thought about golf, you would have cured something by
I would
now?
Have been richer or cured something. So I've basically, so I've tried to kind of, I'm actually having an off season this year, which is nice.
That, yeah. Well, I think it speaks to the obsessiveness that we have about golf, how much we crave getting better, and all of that. And really, I mean, words like that, obsessive, crave, you know, being a uber golf nerd, it kind of speaks to somewhat of the nonsense of golf. And when we want something so bad, I remember there's Paul Dooland, had our friend who coaches PGA Tour players and LPGA and elite amateurs. He has a neat little metaphor that he uses about wanting something like too much, if you will. And he said that when he was a kid, I don't know how old, 12, 14 or something, in his backyard, there was a chipmunk. So he wanted to sort of be little pals with the chipmunk. And so he would bring it together with, you know, peanuts and different stuff. And then I think, I may not have this exactly right, but it's just in the ballpark. Then he kept this thing, would start taking food from his hand, and then he tried to grab it, like he wanted to make it his pet, if you will, and it bit him. And so the metaphor he uses is that when we want something too much, we lose perspective, and I think that's when the ego nonsense happens of just, you know, chasing after fixes, getting really too obsessed with trying to fix something, or oh my gosh, I'm not making the progress I want to. And I think with a lot of things, when we get distance from it, we gain perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very healthy in everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think with me and a lot of golfers, but I can, you know, speaking for myself, I think I got into a mode the last couple of years. Yes, I had a lot more balance this summer, for sure I did. But still, it's like I had this thing in my head where if I'm not trying to get better all the time, then I'm falling behind something. And I've thought about this recently. Like, what if I didn't try as hard? Would I still be as good? Like, what if I tried, you know, less to feed the chipmunk and more just to enjoy the chipmunk for whatever it's worth? And again, I it'll be interesting when I finally get back to golf, because I'm going away soon, just for a week, and I'm not taking my golf clubs. But then I'm going away in February for a couple weeks where I am going to take my clubs. Mm-hmm. So at some point in January, I'm going to start to hit some balls again, just so I have some, just to get my golf muscles back in shape. But I just wonder sometimes, and again, this is the longest break I've taken in a long time, where maybe we get it, it becomes sort of this normal way of being that you're always trying and striving because you think that's what golf is.
Right. I think that that's when we struggle. I really do. I mean, you think about, so I'm reading a novel right now called The Natural. There was a movie made, you know, with Robert Redford and everything. And
Glenn Close was in that movie, by the way.
Okay, so I'm in that part of the book where he's in a batting slump. And it's the same thing that happens to golfers, the same thing you could think of like a stockbroker or a salesperson. They're in a, you know, perceived slump. So they're starting to, you know, chase after anything. You know, in the book, he goes to see a woman, you know, who does, you know, readings through crystal balls. I mean, he's desperate. And I think when we're in that place of desperation, like the ego is just kind of, please save me here. Something's got to happen here. That's when we get lost. And I think that's when we get really disconnected from, you know, from what's, from our, that's what, that it becomes an access issue. We can't access what we already have. We have a lot of talent. You know, as a golfer, I mean, you've got just so much experience, you've got so much skill, But the more you go down that rabbit hole of the search and trying this and trying that, I think that we get further and further away from being able to access what's already there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that so much what happens when we're, in fact, not on this constant path of trying is that that's, I think, when we're open to discovery of what we've already got. Or different things that we didn't even know were happening, because now we're sort of just paying attention in an open way rather than trying so much shit.
You know, and you know, I've seen this lesson in practice when it comes to yoga, and I've also seen it in golf. And what I'm going to describe is this. You know, part of being in a yoga class, there's a bunch of people around you. You can be sucked in by comparable, very similar to golf.
Absolutely.
Comparing yourself to others, trying too hard to be perfect, you know, pushing yourself when you know you need to rest.
Yep.
And I'm reminded now, because I've been doing more intense classes, that there are times in every class where I go, okay, I'm around a lot of young people. I'm the oldest guy in most classes, although there's a couple older guys once in a while. But I look around and I'm like, okay, that's great. You're 40 years old, so you go ahead and do it. I'm just going to take a couple minutes now and not continue to push myself. And I sometimes think about myself as a golfer and others as golfers, that sometimes we think we have to keep pushing and working. And I call it, you know, working on my game. And when, in fact, we might be better served, I would be better served at some points in the season by allowing the game Absolutely. To just come to me, as Yep. opposed to forcing it, to back to Paul's analogy of trying so hard and getting bitten by it. Because, you know, even though last summer I was, you know, I felt pretty good about how I served both golf and my life, but inside of golf, there's always that feeling of, I'm not going to rest. I'm just going to keep going until I figure this out. And the fact is, you know, I've been at this a long time. I don't know what else. What am I going to figure out?
Exactly.
Like, what's left for me to figure out other than to continue to find ways to feel grateful and to enjoy the game? That's what I need to figure out. That's the spiritual journey
that we've been on.
I've been on. You've been on. Our friends have been on. That is the journey, to find a way to accept and allow and enjoy, as opposed to just constantly be fucking grinding it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting, too. I mean, there's no getting around it. You know, we talked, your next birthday is going to be 65, me, April 68. So we're in the second half of life, and the second half of life is more of a time of reflection and discovery, and not as grinding as much. I mean, there's a reason you have kids when you're in your 20s and 30s, because you got the energy, and you're sort of compelled. You're working on your identity. You're trying. You're all these different things at an instinctual level. But when you get older, it is. I think more of it's more reflective of what's going on. We kind of take our foot off the gas pedal, and. Not that we're cruising or stopping living, but I think that things come to us a little bit more that maybe like, holy shit. I mean, there's things that I feel like I'm coming aware of that it went, damn, I wish I was aware of that 20 years ago.
I have that all the time, man.
And I wish I had trusted my own, particularly in hitting golf shots. For the longest time, I remember having this feeling of if I just let my arms just drop down, from the top of the back. So if I just let them drop, I could hit. I seemed to play pretty well. And then I'd get deviated off into some, oh, I got to do this or that because this is the right way to do
No,
it.
I know.
And then what do I come back to all the time? That feeling of my arms just dropping. And so now that's part of my. And now, like, I've hit the ball in the last 3 years, I hit the ball better than I have in my entire fucking life on a consistent basis.
I feel dirty when you swear. When I do it, it seems fine, but when you swear, I just feel all dirty. I'm like, it's almost like hearing your dad say fuck. No, I get what you're saying. And as far as the swing goes, like, that's another thing I've been thinking. Like, you know, I was going to work on my game all winter this year. I really was. Mm-hmm. And then I got into this idea that I would take a couple weeks off, and now it's turned into 6 weeks off, and it's going to be a while before I want to turn that faucet back on. And I've learned a little bit about myself in the last couple of months as well, that I just wrote it down that, you know, what would it be like if I just didn't try so hard? Would I still, I suspect I would enjoy it, because I've enjoyed trying less over the course of this podcast. And I suspect that it wouldn't really impact my efficiency or my ability as a golfer. And I'm also resigned to the fact that, you know, this skill level that I have now, I don't know how much better I can be, but I know I can be better when it comes to enjoying the experience. I've gotten better at it, but that's really the next part for me. I shouldn't say next. I've been at this a while, trying to enjoy my life on a golf course. I've never enjoyed golf as much as I have the last 4 or 5 years. That's without a doubt. But there's another level to it.
Yeah. I think. You know what? What's really interesting is that, by the way, I absolutely loved that conversation I had with Kent. The bonus at the end of our last. That was really good. And you guys were like hitting it out of the park, both of you. And one of the things that came home to me, that actually really took in, was Kent's advice. Now, I edited his book, so I might be getting this from the book and part from the chat you guys had, was, you know what, if you want to go and hit 100 putts from 3 feet, if you feel compelled to do it, yeah, go do it. But if, you know, and there's something else you don't want to do, well, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a stupid example, I do my own little yoga thing about three times a week or so. And there's one piece that just kind of every once in a while I go, oh, really? I have to do this? And I went, no, I'm not doing it today, just because I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that because I did take care of this certain exercise that my body's going to go into decline? No, it's not. But I think what happens is we're just stay a little bit lighter, like in terms of the mental energy and the trying hard. And I just think when we relax, things just come. Now, I don't mean like, you know, falling down on the ground relaxed, but I just think when we're just more in the, you know, we create this, we people talk about getting into flow. I think that's when kind of we're not self-conscious, like, how am I doing? What am I doing? I'm just doing. And I think that in all parts of life, when we're in that space, that's when things tend to go pretty well. And sometimes hit golf shots or say things or come up with a business idea and we go, holy crap, that's really good. Where'd it come from? Don't know, but I love it.
Okay, well, so that's a nice little way to open up this program. This is our last show of the year, as I mentioned off the top. And I'm kind of like, I think I kind of got into what, you know, at the beginning of the 2024 golf season, I threw out this idea of this being the season of balance. And, you know, and again, I would look back and think I had a pretty good golf season. I definitely was more balanced. I have a new relationship. I kept going to yoga every week. I didn't miss. Very rarely did I. I didn't, you know, I definitely practiced as much as I normally do, but I enjoyed it in a different way. I had some good results. You know, my handicap didn't really go down or didn't go up. Well, went up a bit, but that's fine. I just look back at the season and think, okay, you know, like, that was a pretty good, it was a pretty good approach to the game. And the way that things have ended, like the last round I had was the 7th of November. I know it was the day because it was that, you know, thing at the National that I get invited to. And there was lots of days after the 7th of November that I could have still played golf and didn't. And this break is, I guess, part of the season of balance, is giving myself a chance to, what do they call it? Like, lay fallow, you know, like let things just kind of go.
That sounds like a canned lit thing having to do with.
Planting
corn or something.
Yeah, it's a exactly. It's a farming thing where you just sort of let a field. You don't plant seeds on the same field every year after year because you ruin the soil. So sometimes
you let it lay fallow.
Yeah, you lay fallow. You let the field lay dormant for a season or two. So this off season, I'm letting those golf muscles lay dormant. You know, I had a workout yesterday with Brooke Benny, and, you know, he was saying, like, I'm stronger than I have been in a while because I'm not hurting all the time. Like, you know,
we
just take, that's another thing. I think golfers, and I know this is going to resonate, we just take for granted that we're always sore somewhere. I do. Everybody I know that plays.
Vintage anyways.
Say again?
People have a certain vintage.
Well, but even, like, almost all the guys that I know that play, I was going to say competitively, but it's not even, play regularly. Yeah. Just take for granted that, you know, you're popping an Advil. I haven't had an Advil in a couple, in like a month and a half. It's like, you know, my Advil habit is completely.
Wow. You're cleansed.
I know. It's completely around. I don't take an Advil to go to yoga.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're approaching next level of enlightenment.
But just that sort of letting your body, letting the game kind of just lay dormant for a while. I mean, I know a lot of guys listening think it's crazy, but because there's so many places you can go and play golf in the winter now. Yeah. I'm surrounded. Within a few blocks of here, there's a bunch of, you know, simulator places. And of course, you know, I can drive to Casey's, the deluxe simulator place, Burlington Indoor Golf. You teach at a facility.
Golf house in Guelph, yes.
So I could easily still hit balls every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, looking back on the season of balance, it was a success because of that. Because of the fact I have a feeling about the game now that I don't need to constantly be tweaking it every month of the year. Now, that's not to say that come the spring, I'm going to be working on my game and getting ready for tournaments.
Yeah.
But it's going to mean, I think things are going to mean less or different. Things will have a different meaning to me coming in the next few years, I think.
Yeah, I think that you can play really good golf. That is, score low when you want to, like in tournaments and matches and things. But just have a less of a precarious relationship with golf, with like, you know, is golf going to be in a good mood today? You know, I hope I don't say the wrong thing and golf's going to snap at me. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
So if we're like, I know, like, you know, golf and I are going to be fine. I'm going to be fine with golf. I think that's when we just kind of fall into those rounds in which, oh, it's kind of going okay today. So a word that I hear myself saying over and over again over the last month or so is, it'll just unfold.
Yeah.
Whatever will happen will unfold. And I don't need to attach a story to it. Oh, today I suck. Oh, I'm not trying as hard as I've taken my foot off the gas pedal. You know, just today is one of those days, or I'm just where I'm at. Like with my own game, I played 14 rounds this year. Which is
low,
about 30-40 less than usual, because I focus on my book and some different writing projects. But I could see that in certain areas of the game, I wasn't as sharp with, like, you know, those, especially in the with pitch shots and chips, just not as sharp as I was because I was not doing it as much. But in terms of like my overall ball striking, you know, in drives and, you know, pretty standard 7-irons and stuff like that, and generally putting, really good. Really good. And I think part of it was I wasn't so invested in that, oh, is today the day that I put this score in, my index will drop a couple of marks, or am I going to get into the champ flight of Club C?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just didn't have that going on. And in a couple of rounds, I didn't even keep score. And like my last round of the year, I could have been 76, could have been 80. Don't know. But all I know is that there's parts of the game that need a little bit more fine-tuning and keeping on it, and other parts of it, it'll be fine because, you know, I've got a golf swing that I've had for decades.
Right.
And, so and I think the point is, I think the point I'm making in a very long-winded way is being less invested and caring less, slightly don't care, shall we say, that's when some really good stuff can happen.
But the big zen, you know, takeaway, the big zen is, yeah, some good things may happen, but they may not, and that's also okay.
Right. And that's okay.
You know, again, because I've been doing so much yoga lately, You know, there are classes when I feel really strong and I feel like engaged, and there are classes when you don't. And I never go home after a yoga class where it, can you hear the dogs? You can? Hang on a second.
That's why I was laughing. Yeah, you can tell.
Both of my dogs are barking at the door of the studio. But I never go.
You said my dogs. I thought you only had one.
No, I have two. I have my daughter's dog here. It's the one that's barking the most. Hold on a second.
It's because it's not your dog. If that dog was better behaved and you were its master, you would have it trained not to do that.
It's not my dog. It's the other dog. My daughter's dog is a ridiculous yappy maniac. I never leave a yoga class and I go home and start looking at my poses in the mirror. I never go on yoga Twitter. I never go on yoga Instagram. I'm not reading books about how to get better at yoga. I'm not obsessing at night. You know, why did I fall out of that pose? How come my dancer's pose wasn't any good today? I'm not going on
Scottie Scheffler yoga.
I'm not following different yogis on Instagram. I just do it. I enjoy it. And then I forget it.
Yeah, who's going to win the Varden Trophy Award? Who's leading in earnings in the hot yoga?
So if I could just find a way to bring some of that where you just play the game and then leave it alone. The problem with the game is, I mean, obviously, part of the allure for people like us, obsessives like me, is that it has such a never-ending pool. Totally. You can just immerse yourself in it. But I can go to yoga and then just come home. And I've enjoyed it, whether I shot... You know, whether I broke 80 at yoga that day or not, doesn't linger with me. My girlfriend isn't saying, "What are you thinking, honey?" And I'm like, "Oh, that eagle pose really fucked me up today." Never
you
do
know,
that.
I had it really going, but in the last 5 minutes, I just ran out of gas.
I had it really going today, and then I shit to bed just before Shavasana. Anyway, so
when she said namaste, I just faked it.
Yeah, I wasn't really. So let's move on from all of this. There's a book that was prominent on our program in 2024. I think it was called, if I'm not mistaken, Getting Unstuck, 7 Transformational Practices for Golf Nerds.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it so much that I feel like I wrote it. But I just wrote the foreword, which a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, not about your book, but a lot of people think the foreword is the most important part of a book. But anyway, what are we looking for? Is there any more? Are we getting more unstuck in 2025, or are we unstuck? Are we unstuck enough?
Well, I think it's a good time of year to talk about. 2025, reflecting back on 2024, I always think it's a very good exercise to do some journaling, which is just a fancy way of saying, get a pen and some paper and write some things that just pour onto the page. And it could be just to reflect on, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, what parts of your game you need to work on. What was most fun? I mean, just review your year and just see just what comes up. And so, you know, look at the good things that happened, just the things that made you laugh, that you felt really proud, you were excited, you had a good game. And then as you do that, also, if you reflect honestly on your game, you think, okay, what part of my game needs to be, say, you know, really improved? And so if you're an average golfer, it might be that, you know, I'm going to figure out this fadey slice thing once and for all, because if you can't put the ball in play, you can't score. Or someone says, you know what, my iron play isn't bad, but I don't really understand this low point thing. I tend to hit the ball fat and then skinny. So what I'm saying is that identify a couple of core areas of your game and then make it almost your mission for 2025 that you're going to commit to working on these things. And I think that's just so important to define where you're going to go with any part of your life, or your certainly with your golf game. Because I think the tendency is, because of our golf culture and this tsunami of information coming through, you know, that little computer in your phone that has like a, you know, bottomless ocean of information, is that most golfers, they flop from thing to thing to thing. And, oh, my God, I just saw the postal van go by. the posties are back at work.
Yeah, oh, they are. I love that phrase, postal Van Gogh. Oh, there's a guy who's an artist.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that's the major issue with most golfers, is that they don't have what I'll call a mission. The things that they're committed to working on, that they're going to stay on, as opposed to flitting, that's the word we've used a lot, from thing to thing to thing, because you're just not going to improve doing it that way. You're just going to continue to be fairly mediocre.
Well, and because you're not going to focus on maybe one or a couple of things that could have an impact. But, you know, I in the subheading of Tim's book, it's how to change your self-defeating behaviors and move your game forward. But I could also argue, I wouldn't argue, but I would also put forward that that could be, if you change your self-defeating behaviors, then you can move your game forward. Because if you don't change these things that are self-defeating, which, as you've just described, flitting from one thing to another thing, looking at, and I'm guilty of it, you know, I see something on, like I have, you have, you're, okay, sorry, I'm just going to throw this dog in the garbage.
Okay, Billy, go on.
I have on my Instagram, you know, when you can save videos.
Yeah, yeah.
I could spend the rest of this year, the next whatever number of days there are left in 2024, just going through golf swing instruction things that I thought, oh, I'll look at that later. Oh, I'll try that later. That is definitely, and we all can do it. We all do it. Yeah. I would say that's a self-defeating behavior, because none of it is impacting moving my game forward. What I think in the book and from our discussions, part of getting unstuck is to recognize that we have these self-defeating behaviors. It's those things that are holding us back, not the fact that we're not great at chipping. Part of it is to accept, again, using yoga as, you know, a little bit of a touchstone here. There's lots of things I can't do or don't do as well as other people in class. But for some reason, because my ego is in a different place, I accept it. Yeah. I accept it, and my game feels good. My yoga game feels good. I feel good about how I feel when I'm there. I don't always feel that way after a round of golf, because I think I should be doing something, or I should fix that, or I need to, like we've talked about this on the show many times, about how golf's like playing whack-a-mole. You're always like, there's always something comes up. I hit the drive good today, putt bad. Putt good, drive bad. Iron shitty, chipping bad. Saw three putting, bunker shots. It's just, you're always trying to tamp down something that's not working for you, when most of the time, you just can kind of accept it. And as part of the game, as part of your game, and maybe that's part of what's, you know, what to move forward is that, is to accept that there's not, you're not going to be great at everything in golf every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing around detachment, acceptance is so really important, because when you accept what's going on, it's like we don't go into that typical place of like feeling like angry or sad or shame. And that's when people wonder why they, you know, are stuck on a plateau of golf or whatever part of their life is, it's because it's not what they think, it's what they feel, it's what they actually do. As they say, it's the behaviors. So what causes us to behave in certain ways? Oh, really, it gets down to, we don't want to feel bad.
Yeah.
if we feel angry or we feel sad or a negative emotion, we instinctually want that to fucking go away.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we will react. It's not much different than when in the old style, physical with the doc, you put the little hammer on your knee and poof, out it would go. That's the way we, if we're all honest with ourselves, that's the way we spend most of our lives. Something happens, we react. And we react the same way we've done our whole lives. So an example I've probably used on this show before, but I think it works. So you're playing Saturday morning, and it's a casual game with the buds, and you got a match coming up on Tuesday. And, you've maybe moved along in the bracket, and you really hope you play well. But let's say you're blowing your drives out to the right all day. So it's like, oh, man, I got to get this sorted out. Because you're worried, you're anxious, you're basically in a place of fear how you're going to play on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the range and you panic practice. Yeah, I think we have talked about this. And so you just go down this rabbit hole of trying to find things, in essence, to make you feel better, to make you feel not afraid of what's going to happen. And maybe some shame there or whatever. I know that's a squishy word for a lot of
people. No, but basically if you're future casting how you might show up on Tuesday,
absolutely,
based on how you're hitting it Saturday.
Yeah. So what happens is you could you go and you try and find something, and so for 3 or 4 days you're spinning, and you show up Tuesday for your match. And you're in this place of trying hard. Hopefully you remember the little swing thought you had, and you shit the bed because you behaved in a way to try to make yourself feel better. Mm-hmm. Rather than on Saturday, if you went, maybe today just wasn't the day.
Yeah. Maybe or today's maybe just I'll not my back. Day.
Maybe I'll come back on Sunday afternoon, and maybe I'll put myself on video, check out what's my posture like, what are my fundamentals, hit some, see how it is, which is a very different thing than panic practicing or all the different things that we do, the ways we behave that cause us to self-interfere and get in our own way.
Well, I've said it before, you can always tell when the club championship's coming because you see people practicing their short game that have never been near the short game area all year.
And the
opposite happens too. The converse of that is, I've made this joke before where someone will say, oh man, I'll be playing with somebody on Saturday and men's night was Wednesday, and the Wednesday previous they'll say, oh man, I should have seen me hitting my driver so good Wednesday. And I go, Wednesday's a long time ago in golf.
That's right.
It's a absolutely long time ago. And
the front nine can be a long time ago too.
Right. And my joke about, they should have a sign at the tee that says past performance is no indication of future results, because it's not. But I mean, overall, I think the if I may use this and hearken back to many things we've said. By the way, I've started incorporating hearken into my vocabulary. I started using it on the Humble and Fred show about 3 weeks ago, and every day I go, let me hearken back to something I said. But if I can hearken back to something that we've talked about overall, and again, my daughter's dog is barking at people as they walk by my studio window. One of the main themes of 9 years of swing thoughts is finding a way to feel good about the game you have, to feel good, to feel good enough. And I loved everything you said, and you've said it before about shame and just trying to make ourselves feel better, to get to a place where, you're overall, and I've made progress in this particular part of the game the last 2 or 3 years especially, is looking around and feeling good about whatever's going on, and taking time in a round of golf to appreciate that I'm playing, that I'm healthy, that I'm in an environment I love, doing a thing that I at my very core just adore, like at a DNA level. Yep. And so I've taken time like that, and there have been great breakthroughs, I feel, for myself, and I hope others, that where I'm not driven by completely driven by self-defeating behaviors. I still slip up from time to time and find myself obsessing over my golf swing and wondering why I'm not better or how come I keep making the same mistakes. But overall, I look back at this year especially, but sort of an arc of 2 or 3 years where I feel more grateful and my attitude is better inside my brain than it's ever been. And I haven't played the best golf. You know, I've played good golf, but I haven't, you know, didn't have any big wins last year. But like overall, I felt pretty good about the game. And I hope that continues in the next year. And I think I'm off to a good start because the groundwork I'm laying is by letting the game go for a while. It'll be there when it'll and I thought about that too. It's still there. You know, my clubs will still be there.
Absolutely. And you know, it's like you know, what's the objective of golf really in many ways? It's like to have I would say it's to have fun, feel energized, feel good, you know, relax, escape. Yeah, feel mastery. I mean, when you absolutely nut an iron shot, especially the sound, the feeling, just the way it comes out of that little window. Ah, man, it feels so good. But those types of things, I mean, like what's more important? I mean, sure, you know, if a win a tournament, shoot lowest score in men's night or whatever, a personal best, that stuff's really good. I mean, those are signposts that, oh, maybe what I've been doing is, we all like to see signs of progress. But at the end of the day, I think really it's like, how do we feel inside? Do we feel, you know, this genuine joy, enjoy being alive, being with other people, engaging with the world? I think when we're in that place, that's a pretty damn good place to be.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, and I think when we're in that place, I think that's when the good things really happen. And we're more likely to play our best golf than when we have that very tight spotlight on, how am I doing? Is this thing I've been working on, is it working? Ugh. I think that's really when we tend to struggle and we lose that big picture piece of just kind of engaging with the world. This is something I've been doing some interesting, to me, reading about, is like, really discovering things that were there within me that I didn't even know were there. You know, that parts of that unconscious part of myself. And I think that's when that stuff starts to come out. You know, it's something like, whether it's playing music, talking, writing, you know, and the things that you know, different things that you do, you know, golf, you're broadcasting, Humble and Fred, just dealing with, you know, with the world. Every once in a while, we will say something like, where the hell did that come from? Oh my goodness. You know, and it's always been there, but now we're giving it some space to come up and out.
Well, Timothy, we've come to that time of the program where we're going to start to wrap things up. Before we do, regular listeners may have noticed that we didn't mention TaylorMade. I think last time we talked about the fact that they've suspended their sponsorship. I can't remember last show, but I would like to let everyone know that, you know, we've got a couple of other companies that we're talking to.
Irons in the fire.
We have some irons in the fire here. The sales department of Swing Thoughts. We're working pretty hard over here. Yeah. So I would say to anyone listening that's in a position that they would like to use our program to promote your golf related project. Hang on a second.
Boy, it's chaos and nonsense in there with those dogs.
You know, the thing about my daughter's dog is I'm more nervous about hurting it than my own dog. I took the dogs for a walk yesterday, and I was walking on this busy street that I live on, and I made sure that her leash was wound around my hand because I thought, if one of these dogs slips away and gets run over, it's better if it's my dog than my daughter's dog, because I don't know how that phone call would go. Hi, honey. Yeah. I'm good. Everything's fine. Your dog. Her dog's name is Billy. Billy. Billy's not doing great, honey. What do you mean, Daddy? Maybe we should start looking for a new dog. Anyway,
because Billy has some issues.
She's like a car. She's so small. Anyway, back to the idea that we are open for business. If you would like to contact us, my email is humblehoward@gmail.com. And we would be happy to have a conversation about how we can promote your golf-related project or product.
Or your service.
Or your service. Like to-
be involved or talked about with the game of golf.
Right.
Yeah.
We're hopeful that one of these two companies will come through, because both of them are great golf companies that we'd love to be involved with. But you know what, Tim? I'm also at the point now, if it doesn't happen, it's not like we're not going to do a show. So Swing Thoughts will return in 2025, early in the year. And hopefully we'll have an announcement about a new golf company that we're getting involved in or with.
That dog. When you hear 2025, do you think of that song about the world going to hell in a handbasket from the 1960s? In the year 2025,
Zagger, you know who did that?
If we're still alive.
Zagger, the band was Zagger and Evans.
Ah, I was going to say. It's not Bagger and Vance.
No, it's not Bagger and Vance. That's funny, though. It's, yeah, in the year 2025. In the year...
If we are still alive.
I can't find it for some reason. Yeah, you got to be a certain age.
Yeah, to get year, that one. Yeah, well, 20. We are that age.
Here it is. Here you go.
In the year...
Talk about a dramatic pop radio tune.
Alive, oh yeah, absolutely.
If woman can survive, they may find.
I worked at radio stations where we played this song. It's like, hey, as you're making your way on your to start your day, think about the apocalypse.
Heartbreaking vibrato.
Oh no, I know.
Like, I can just hear the producer flinging himself back at you. I need more pathos.
Yeah, exactly. Not pathetic enough. Yeah, so in the year 2025, we will be back and looking forward to all of you joining us. To everyone that listens to us, we extend the best wishes for a Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Dali Wally, whatever, and whatever else
don't we
is going
on. Cover all that by saying, have a happy holiday season.
Yeah, that's what people say that now. I find it funny when people say to me, hey, Merry Christmas. Ooh, I'm sorry. Is that okay? You know, because you're Jewish. I go, you know, saying Merry Christmas to a Jewish person, it's not like we melt. So go ahead and say it to your family from the management and staff of Swing Thoughts. We say Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. And
whatever happiness, whatever your beliefs, they're all welcome here on Swing Thoughts. We're open to everything.
Yeah, whatever everything. Cockamamie made-up stuff you guys want to worship is just fine. We never got to Scotty Scheffler, but that's fine. That's for another golf show. Tim O'Connor.
Okay.
The book, Seven Casserole Recipes Using... rice noodles is available.
That won't get stuck to your Teflon pan. How's that?
Humble and Fred show, of course, still on for a couple more days, and we're off for a couple weeks. And to everyone else, all the best in 2025, and we'll see you in the new year.
Cheers. Bye.
You feel all right when you hear the music.